so much. We all believe in those divine appointments, and I think I had one back in 2005. I was at Windsor Hills Baptist Church and was there for some occasion. I think it was graduation, or maybe it was a graduation. I can't. North-South School of Prophets, and our son was captain of one of the teams, the North. Please forgive us. Amen. He was the captain of the North team. And so we, Joyce and I went down just to be a part of that and walked through the auditorium there and ran into Brother Caleb Hansen, who had just graduated, I believe it was. And, of course, I knew him from knowing Emily and the Ross family. And said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm just waiting to go somewhere and work for about 3 years." And God said, "That's him." And Brother Harrison, you were getting ready to go start the church up in Aurora, I believe you were leaving. Started the Spanish church here and had come off the field from being sick. And while they were here, started the Spanish church and served. And so I needed somebody. And God brought Brother Hansen here for 8 years. One of the finest men I know. And I'm not just joking. I'm not saying that because he's here. One of the finest men I know. Well, if he ever had a bad day in his life, if he did, you'd never know it. You'd never know. We were headed up to Elgin. We were just getting started with reseeding Illinois, and something. I don't even remember all the details. It doesn't matter. But Brother Gomez was not pleased with a couple of things, which happens once in a while, and we had a meeting planned, and I told Brother Caleb, I said, "Now, we're probably, this could be a little intense, and we're probably going to get our tails chewed off," and he said, "That's all right, we'll just grow one back," and that's his spirit. He just, nothing gets him down, or if it does, you never know it. And never had a bad day in 8 years here. He never had a bad day in this church, and was such a blessing to us. And Rochester, what's happening in Rochester is miraculous. I don't have time to go into it. Absolutely miraculous. And Jesus stays in heaven. You're going to hear more and more the name Midwest Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Hansen. Thrilled Brother Coral asked him to come and preach this conference. So these young people are going to sing, and then you give your undivided attention to my dear friend, Brother Caleb Hansen.
To destroy everything that's holy and control what preachers say. But God still has a few good men who won't bend, won't bow, won't burn. They will fight to the end to defend that faith until the day that the whole world learns. What the non-believers say, our God has never changed. His word still means everything it says. It is now and forever the same.
What a great special. Thank you, young people, for that. And I know you sang it from your heart as well. And what a blessing and encouragement it is to see young people sing a song with their heart about standing for Jesus in these days. And we need a bunch of young men, a bunch of young ladies that will stand their ground. Thank you so much for that. Boy, my heart this morning is so blessed and encouraged from every message and just the fellowship of God's people together here this week. And I've needed it. I've needed it. I've needed to come to the altar, and I've needed the Lord to squeeze my heart. And He has done that. And I thank the Lord for the conference and the opportunity to have my heart squeezed. Thank you so much for the privilege of being able to attend this conference. I want to say thank you for making us feel right at home. Yesterday, as I walked outside getting ready to load up in the van, it was snowing. It was great. I loved it. What a blessing that was. And we thought maybe we could go ice skating this afternoon after all the services, but it looks like it's going to be too warm, and so we're disappointed about that. But we feel right at home with the snow coming down, and boy, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas in Illinois in April, huh? What a blessing. I want to say thank you for the beautiful hotel room and the gift basket and everything that you have done for our family, Faith Baptist Church. I want to say I love Faith Baptist Church. It was a great, great privilege to serve with you in those 8 years that I was here. And Pastor Angel, thank you for taking your chances on a rookie coming out of Bible college and allowing me to work with your people for 8 years. And there's no way that I can repay you for that. I just want to live the principles and the guidelines that you have instilled in my heart. And in my life, I want to live those out and finish the way that you have invested in me. And yesterday I was sitting in this auditorium. I thought, what a beautiful auditorium. And it is. The remodeling is absolutely gorgeous, Faith Baptist Church. Then I started thinking about all of the investment VU program and the individuals who gave on a weekly basis $25, $10, $100 a week. This didn't happen by accident. And then I was thinking about others who had given so much, like a Jack Lewis, and always sat right underneath the balcony on the right-hand side, and men who invested, and my heart was just so filled with gratitude for the people of Faith Baptist Church. And blesses my heart to be able to shake a few of your hands. And it was the greatest honor to be able to serve with you those 8 years. And I'm just so excited about the beautiful auditorium that you God has blessed you with, the remodel project. And thank the Lord for that. I want to say I'm thankful this morning for my wife and my kids. And what a joy. A wife is in the ministry, and wouldn't be able to do half of what I do without a good wife. Amen? I thank the Lord for that. I also want to say thank you, Dr. Coral, for the opportunity to preach this morning, and I don't take it lightly. I thank you, Pastor Angel, for allowing me this opportunity to preach. And you talk about your heroes, Dr. Hiles and Lester Roloff and those great men, B.R. Lakin, of the past. And I want you to know that my generation, you are our Dr. Hiles and Lester Roloffs and John O. Rice's. That's who you are to us. And you keep talking about your heroes, but we talk about our heroes, and you are our heroes. And when I was 14 years old, I had the privilege of traveling with Brother Boyd, Dr. Boyd, and what an honor that was. But when I was 14 years old, God began to put a love in my heart for the great men that really have passed down the truths of God's word from one generation to the next generation. And I love your heroes, but I love my heroes as well. And you're my heroes. And I love those names Lester Roloff and Dr. Howes. Every night I hear Dr. Howes preach in our house. We went to the thrift store and we bought a, that's the only place you can get a cassette player anymore. So we bought a couple of cassette players for our kids. And the church that I'm pastoring, they had the tape of the month. They had albums, about 3 feet high of albums of cassette tapes from Dr. Hiles. And so we'll grab a couple of those, bring them home, and the boys listen to them every night. I hear Dr. Hiles ripping it up in the boys' bedroom as I'm walking down the hall. And then sometimes I'll hear the boys busting out into hilarious laughter and carrying on. And I think to myself, oh, that's such a blessing to have them influenced by the great voices of the past. And what a blessing that is. And so we're going to be over in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 through 16, Acts chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. Let's stand in honor of God's word. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 through 16. The Bible tells us here, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the men which were healed, or the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture, Lord, that stirs our hearts to see what you were doing in the book of Acts. God, how miracles were taking place and souls were being saved. I believe, dear God, you are desiring to do the same thing today and the day in which we live. I pray, dear God, that you would please remove me from the pulpit here and speak to your wonderful people. Lord, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. In Acts chapter 3, we find the story of Peter and John. They're making their way on the ninth hour to the temple. It was the hour of prayer. As these men made their way to the temple, they were passing a gate by the name of Beautiful. And there was a lame man that was seated there and had been there for about 40 years. And the Bible says he would be carried every day to this location. And he would take his cup or his bag or instrument of bagging. And he would call out, "Alms, alms, alms," and those who were going to the temple would pass on by. But the Bible says, Peter and John, they stopped. And they said, "Look upon us." The Bible tells us that they reached down. They said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I you." And let me say this, every child of God has something to give. Amen. Every child of God has something to give to the lost world. They said, "We don't have silver and gold, but we got something far greater than that. And that is Jesus Christ." And they reached down and picked him up. And the Bible says his feet and his ankles received strength. And this man, he just met Jesus Christ. He just met the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He was healed. And the Bible says he got up on his feet. He ran into the temple, leaping and jumping. You talk about a fanatic convert. He was half crazy, excited about what had just taken place in his life. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, we have a priest, a captain of the temple, and the Sadducees that heard of this miracle that took place, and they came to discredit it. They came to say, "Well, this really didn't happen. This can't really take place in the temple that we've served in for all these years." And they tried to get the people to disbelieve the miracle that they had just seen. They were trying to get the people to doubt that Jesus Christ, the one who had just risen from the dead, still had had power to change a life. And so these men gathered together and they tried to bring up some kind of idea to keep it all quiet. Let me say this. I believe there are still individuals that are trying to suppress the miracles that God is doing in our day and age. Absolutely. I believe that the evangelicals try to discredit the value of separation. They try to discredit the value of separation. I believe the Calvinists try to discredit the soul winning efforts that are done by God's people. Oh, you can't lead a person that's already predestined to hell to Christ. You can't do that. You might as well just give up the soul winning. Hey, they try to discredit it, but we know better than that. The Jehovah Witnesses, they try to discredit the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit, saying that it might be a force that comes in, kind of floats in and floats out, and Casper the Ghost. And my grandpa helped lay the foundation. My great grandpa helped lay the foundation of the Kingdom Hall in the city in which I'm pastoring in. And the false teaching that they bring, they try to discredit the Holy Spirit. But, oh, He's alive and He's working in our midst, in our churches. Thank the Lord for that. I want to say that there's some Reformed Baptists that try to separate or discredit the standards that we have been taught and given by the Word of God. But let me tell you, standards are still good today as they were three decades ago. Amen. Hey, nothing's changed. You have the miracles of God that take place in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 4, you got a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and the captain of the church house saying, oh, poo-poo on it. It don't work anymore. Hey, it does work. Amen. There's some things you just can't discredit. Absolutely. Oh, as I look at this, they were trying to keep it all a hush-hush. But in verse 16, the Bible tells us, in the latter part of the verse, I love this phrase, we cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. What? Hey, why can't you deny this? Well, you see, we have an issue here. There's a guy that's standing right beside us. And we all know him. We all know the tone of his voice. We've all heard him ask for a little bit of alms. We've all looked at his rags before. And now he's standing right before our very own eyes. There is something we want to deny, but he's standing there. And we can't deny it with his evidence right in front of our face. The Bible says there in verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them. This morning, I'm excited to look around and see the miracles of modern Christianity. I still believe that they're taking place. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. I get excited about what took place in the 70s and the 80s. But I get excited about 2020. Amen. Well, let's move forward a year. 2021. I get excited about this year. I get excited about the boys and girls who walk down the aisle this year. Amen. Hey, God is still doing miracles. I believe it with all my heart. And you can have a naysayer come by and say, oh, I deny what's going on. But there's some things that are undeniable. And I want to say just four simple things here this morning. The undeniable truths. Number one, God is still saving lost sinners. God's still saving lost sinners. The mission of God from the very beginning of time, from the Garden of Eden, has been the souls of mankind. God has been looking to see if one man will turn his heart to Him and He will save him. The mission has always been the lost. Let's get the lost saved. Oh, we find the mission has grown, has it not? To 7.6 billion people on this globe. Called earth. It's growing. And God still says, I want to save the lost. And the good news is, He's still saving the lost. Today, He's still saving the lost. Oh, what a blessing it was yesterday afternoon to hear Brother Cox say, I led a lady at the hotel, the clerk behind the desk. I led her to the Lord, huh? Hey, God's still saving lost sinners. Absolutely. You see, this man was lame there at the gate beautiful. For 40 years he had sat there and asked the question, alms please, alms please. But I say this man was doomed for the rest of his life to sit in that kind of condition, to have that kind of a need. Oh, he needed someone to make a difference in his life. And it wasn't going to happen by silver and gold. It wasn't going to happen with a change of garments. No, no, no. It wasn't going to happen with a new beautiful gate that was going to be his backdrop for his begging. No, it wasn't going to happen. Oh, there's one person that could make that change, and his name is Jesus Christ. The men came by with Jesus. Oh, what a difference it made for that man. You see, Jesus Christ has always been looking for the lost man, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, he was saving back in Acts chapter 3, and he's still saving in 2021. Jesus Christ is still interested in the lost souls. Oh, the Calvinist says, oh, if you're marked as one going to hell, there's nothing you can do about it. Beg your pardon? Beg your pardon? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 still says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I thank God as I read through the pages of the New Testament. I get so excited about hearing about the great conversions of those saints back then. I think of the maniac of Gadara, how he saw the boat come across the sea. Jesus Christ stepped out of the boat. He begins to make his way through that road. And the tombstones there that the man had been hiding behind, all of a sudden, this man comes leaping out and he runs to Jesus. He falls down at Jesus' feet. The Bible says his life is changed. Life is changed. I enjoy reading the story about the thief on the cross turning to Jesus and saying, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. I enjoy reading the story about the woman at the well. As Jesus was resting, the woman comes out from that city, Sychar, and Jesus begins to share his heart with her, and she realizes that she's speaking to the Messiah. She gets saved. My heart stirs as I read about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. We've got some precious Ethiopians at our church. Medi was here last night. What a blessing it is. A bus kid that came to our church for a few years. Brother Stephen worked with him so diligently. The Ethiopian riding the chariot through the desert. And Philip stops him. And he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior. I think of the Philippian jailer. As he's in that jail thinking that the death sentence is coming to him. He says, what must I do to be saved? Oh, my heart rejoices and I get excited about those conversions in the New Testament. But I remind myself, hey, he didn't stop saving at Revelation chapter 22. No, he's still saving today. And I get excited about hearing about the Great Awakening. I get excited about hearing the Second Great Awakening. I get excited about hearing about the 70s and the 80s. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ is still saving today. Hey, it's an undeniable fact that he's still looking for lost sinners to bring to himself. Absolutely. Oh, my heart is stirred. A couple of weeks ago, I received a phone call from one of our Ethiopian men. Omat is his name. He and his wife come to church. He said, Pastor, there was a death in the Ethiopian community. Can we use the church as a place where we can hold a service? Can you preach the service? I said, yes, that would be fine. And so I said, how many people do you think? He said, about 50. I said, okay, we'll make the food for 50 folks. And so they started coming in, one car, and he said, more are coming. And so a few more cars came, and the ushers were ready, and people were being seated in the auditorium. About 50 people came. I said, is that about it? He said, no, there's more. I said, okay. about 100 Ethiopians came into the auditorium. I said, is that about it? He said, no, there's more. I said, okay, about 150. And you have to understand, our auditorium is not very big. About 150 Ethiopians came in. I said, is that about it? He said, no, there's more coming. I said, okay. There was 200 Ethiopians in the auditorium. I said, is that it? He said, no, still more coming. I said, okay. They were seated on the ramp going out to the back door. The sound man, he was sitting in the back. Brother Jacobson, he was sitting there. And he had a whole bunch of Ethiopians filling the sound booth with him. He was having a time. Oh, man, there were over 225 Ethiopians that filled the auditorium. We got up and gave the gospel. There were 17 adults that trusted Christ as their Savior. Huh? Let me tell you, He's still interested in saving lost sinners. I get excited about past souls being saved. I get real excited about what's ahead. Amen? Oh, the joy of seeing lost people saved. I had a man a few weeks ago come into my office. He and his wife were seated there. We began to talk, and the man said, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I know I'm not saved. Put his hands in his head in his hands and just began to sob. I'm on my way to hell. I'm on my way to hell. This is one of our Sunday school teachers. I'm on my way to hell, Pastor. I need to get saved. And he slid off the chair in my office, and he hit the floor of my office, and he just started sobbing. Oh, I'm on my way to hell. I'm on my way to hell. I said, brother, you know what to do. Go ahead and pray. Ask God to save you. His wife is crying. He's crying. He bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as the Savior. I got done. I was so excited. I said, brother, I'm so glad that you got this settled. He got back in, we finished the meeting, and he got in the van. He was headed to his house, and he said, family, I have an announcement to make. Your dad just got saved. Boy, the whole family got excited. His son came to him once he got home. He said, Dad, I've been battling it all day long. And I said at the beginning of church this morning, if I can just make it home, I'll talk to my dad about getting saved. He bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ that night. God began to do a work on February 21st. We were going to have Brother Gomez come in and preach for us and talk about Vision Unlimited. He was stuck in Texas with their blizzard and Minnesota weather that they were having down there. So at the end of the invitation, God began to do a work. There's a young lady right over here. She bolted and went to the back, just sobbing. There's an adult lady, one of our choir members, that came to the front. It's one of our teenagers that went over and found another lady, young lady, in the church. There's one of our young teenage men that came to the altar and talked with one of our men. They didn't know why each other were coming, but they all trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The young lady that went around and started talking to one of our ladies in the church, she came up front and she began to just sob at the invitation. All of a sudden, the crying was louder than the piano. People were just crying, and oh, dear God! And then one of the relatives of the lady that got saved, that accepted Christ as her Savior, came out and he said, "Oh, praise the Lord! She got saved, amen." Hey, I get excited about past conversions, hey, but let me tell you, it's an undeniable truth that He's still interested in saving lost souls, amen. Oh. He always has been and always will be. Oh, thank the Lord. We've had 15 of our church members, bus workers, Sunday school teachers, ushers, accept Jesus Christ in the last few weeks. Huh? I believe that God is still interested in saving lost sinners. I believe, number two, I believe that God is still using saved sinners. I believe that God is still saving lost sinners. I believe God is still using saved sinners. The greatest thing about salvation is it makes you eligible. for God's use. Huh? Makes you eligible for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was not only saved from his condition, but God saved him for his use. God wanted to use this man. Let me tell you, hey, new converts will stir things up like nothing else. Huh? They will create some excitement in the auditorium like nothing else. We were having, shortly after I took the pastor there in Rochester, we had a Sudanese lady that was coming. And she was getting excited in one of the messages. And they respond, not with amen, but that's how they do it. Man, we hadn't heard anything like that. She's sitting there. We have one of our very fine young ladies seated beside her. And she's sitting there, and she's getting all worked up, man. Salvation is exciting, and God's blessings are exciting. And here she goes. She gets ready to make this, And the lady beside her is zoned in. Minnesota, very somber. We are in church. The Lutheran mentality is coming out. She's sitting right there, and this lady opens up. And she goes, wham! It wasn't planned. It was all just reaction from hearing it. Oh, man. She turned to her. I'm sorry. That's not the way to get a newcomer back. Amen. Oh, they'll stir some things up. Here, can you imagine in Acts chapter 3, you have all these people praying in the house of God. They're stoic. Minnesotans, stoic. And here comes this radical new convert. He just got his strength in his ankles and his legs. Woo! Woo! I'm saved! I'm going to heaven! Woo! I got my legs back! Man, this is awesome! And people start looking around. What in the world's going on around here? This guy's half nuts! Hey, God wanted to stir some things up at his house. Amen. God was using a saved sinner. Amen. Hey, and any time you and I have an opportunity to lead a person to Christ, all he's doing is using a saved sinner. That's all I am, is a saved farm boy from Minnesota. Amen. And God is willing to use saved sinners for his glory. Thank the Lord. This man was used of God to bring some revival to the house of God in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 4, he stirred things up. I thank the Lord for the things I hear in the past, how God has used past saved sinners. But folks, I'm excited about what God's doing now. And what God's doing, going to be doing in the future. Because there's a lot more lost sinners getting saved and saved sinners getting ready to serve Him. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. Hey, I was getting in my car the other day and I had my phone ring. And this man, his voice I heard on the other end of the phone, he said, Pastor, I have another guy right beside me here. He said, I've just been talking to him. I've been working him over. This is a new convert that is calling me here. We just got done with discipleship. He got his certificate of completion. And he says, I've been working him over. And you know what? I just walked him through the Romans Road and he just got saved. Didn't you? Tell him what you did, sir. I said, amen, brother. Man, that's fantastic. Now, Pastor, can he come down the aisle tomorrow and in the Wednesday evening service? I said, absolutely. That would be just fine. We would love to see him come. And sure enough, he brought him last Wednesday and he walked him down the aisle. And boy, you talk about a convert excited to be in church when he has another convert standing beside him. All of a sudden, amazing grace becomes so much better to him. All of a sudden, victory in Jesus is sung from the heart. Hey, God is still using saved sinners for his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, I think of last Monday, I was talking to a new convert at our church. He's got saved a couple of years ago, but in the last 4 months, he's got locked in. And, boy, what a joy it is to see the Lord working in his life. We were talking at 10 o'clock at night last Monday. And I said, hey, brother, how about we finish this conversation tomorrow night out soul winning? He said, you know, that would be great. I've been hoping that I'd be able to go soul winning with you. I said, well, I'll swing by and pick you up at 6:30. And so I pulled the car up to his house, and here he comes all spiffy. He said, you know, Pastor, I want to make sure that my shirt's all ironed and I have my tie on. I'm representing the church tonight, representing Jesus Christ. I said, amen, brother, looking sharp. Let's go ahead and go to the first visit. We got there to the first house. And usually, you know, you have a new convert there or a newer Christian. They're listening, thinking, dear God, please don't let him ask me a question in this conversation. He was sitting on the edge of his chair. And he said, now, you could come and your son could come and ride the bus. And your other son can come and ride the bus. By the time we left, we had three individuals lined up for church. What a blessing that was. We went to the next house. We were sitting there on the couch. This husband and wife were sitting here. I was sitting beside them talking to them. And then my new convert was right there. And we got into the conversation. And he said, you know, folks, I was just like you. But then I got connected. I got locked in. You see, you just need to be faithful to the Lord. That's your problem. You just need to be faithful. I said, man, let me back out of this conversation. Go get him, brother. Go get him. Huh? Amen. They said, well, maybe if we talked about this a little bit more. He said, what do you want? When do you want to talk? Thursday night? He said, sure. I said, okay, I'll be here at Thursday. What do you like to eat? He said, oh, noodles. He said, all right, I'll go get some noodles and company for you, and I'll be here at 6:30. I got a phone call on Thursday night. Pastor, what's their address again? He's got his noodles, and he's headed to their house. Amen. Oh, I love it when God is using saved sinners. Amen. Hey, he's still saving lost sinners, but he's still using saved sinners. Oh, thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord. I believe also God is still empowering yielded sinners. God is still empowering yielded sinners. The power that was demonstrated at the Gate Beautiful was not the power of Peter and John. No, no, it wasn't theirs. It was the power of Jesus Christ. The man stands to his feet, first time in 40 years. Can you imagine the gratitude that he had in his heart? Thank you. And then Peter and John said, no, don't thank us. It wasn't through us. It was through Jesus Christ. Look at this. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? What means he is made whole? How did he get whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom the Lord raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Oh, it was not the power of Peter and John, but it was the power of Jesus Christ. And those who are yielded, Peter and John were yielded to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ reached through them and touched that man. Let me tell you today that any of us who are yielded to the power of God, yielded to Jesus Christ, he can reach through us and touch a life for the cause of Christ. He's still empowering yielded sinners. Yielded sinners, my heart burns when I hear about the revivals of yesteryear. I can remember a class in college. It's called Great Preachers. Brother Way, you remember this. Brother Kelly would teach it. And sometimes in that class it would get so heavy, and then he would just walk out of the class. His preacher boys would come to the altar and would just kneel there and pray. Boy, I love to hear those stories. And then sometimes he would go over to the cafeteria and he would sit. And we just gathered around and said, tell us again about how full your bus was that big day. Tell us about what Brother Vineyard taught you guys when you were in college and what God did for you. Tell us again the miracles that you saw when you were pastoring up in Wyoming. Huh? Oh, it'd stir our hearts. My heart would be so burdened. I love to hear about churches being filled. I love to hear about the buses being packed out. I love to hear powerful preaching. I love to hear cities that are shaken for the cause of Christ. I like to hear about the all-night prayer meetings and the Spirit of God coming down in a special way. My heart burns about those things. But I refuse to believe that the power of God is dead. I believe that I'm stubborn. I believe that I'm the one that hinders the power of God. But God's not dead, absolutely not. And His power is not weak. And His arm is not slack, that He cannot save. Absolutely not. I believe He's still there. Hey, Sunday school teacher, the power of God is waiting for you. Hey, bus captain, the power of God is there for you. Hey, usher, the power of God is waiting to be manifested in your life. I believe it's still alive today, just as it was in yesteryear. I believe God still empowers yielded sinners. Let me say lastly, God still visits weary sinners. God still visits weary sinners, resisting the evil men. May these men weary. In the fight, not of the fight, but weary in the fight. In verse 3, they laid hold on them and kept them that night. In verse 21, they threatened them. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Boy, I thank the Lord for the men who have fought the battles for years and years. Pastor Angel, I'm so thankful for the battle that you have fought. This didn't happen by accident. Church in Bourbonnais. Thank you for the fight all these years, Brother Coral. Keeping revival fires revived. Exciting to read about the books that are in the young preachers' libraries. Weary in the fight, not weary of the fight. Becomes more of a reality every year in my heart and mind. These men have gone before and they've handed down something so precious to my generation. I don't ever want to change one thing. I'll never forget the first time I had an individual in my office. Why don't you just change it just a little bit and just this activity and then we can still sing in the choir. I said, no. I can't. I said, I have a pastor that has given me something that's so precious. How can I go and change it and still say that I worked under Pastor Angel and I'm doing my own thing? Huh? I get mailers in the office, in the mail inviting me to different conferences dealing with leadership, and I think, no. There's no leadership when you don't take a stand on separation, convictions. We'll teach you how to lead, but we don't know how to lead our own wives in standards and separation. Something wrong there. Well, I'm so thankful for the men who have gone and forged the way for my generation. I don't ever want to desecrate what has been given to me. But the way gets wearisome. Weary in the way. When God shows up, though, the fatigue of the battle diminishes and His joy becomes our strength. I was thinking about Douglas MacArthur as he was the commander in, or the commanding officer there in the Philippine Islands. He received a word from the President of the United States to abandon Corregidor and flee to Australia. March 11th, 1942, he left his safe place there in Corregidor. 35 hours he traveled to Australia. Once he got to Australia, he gave a speech. He said these words, I came through, I shall return. The soldiers from that day for the next 2 years, there were 90,000 American Filipino soldiers there that were abandoned. They were low on supplies. They were low on food resources. He said, Douglas MacArthur said, I came through, I shall return. For those 2 years, two death marches took place. My wife's grandfather was in one of those death marches. The death ships pulled away from those islands and made it over to the Japanese prison camps. The prisoners of war. And then October 20th, 1944, here you have Douglas MacArthur leaving the ship and wading through. You have that famous picture of him wading through the water to the beaches there. And he gets to the beach and he says these words after he made sure that everything was safe there on the island. He said, I have returned. And the troops began to rally themselves. The troops took courage. He's back. He's back. And for the next almost 1 year, for the next 9 months, they fought the battles with so much more intensity. They fought the battles with fervor and zeal because their commander had come back and visited them. Oh, let me tell you, sometimes it gets wearisome, but He always is willing to come and join us in the way. Amen. He's always willing to visit the weary sinner. Oh, Pastor, after that difficult visit on a Sunday night, the family tells you some heartbreaking news. You try to pour out your heart and counsel them, and they reject the counsel in you. Watch them drive off. You see the taillights of their car. You hop in that car and you begin to drive that lonely trip home. It seems like you're all by yourself. Let me tell you, there's one that opens up the passenger door with you and gets in that passenger side of the car. His name is Jesus. Everything's all right. Everything's all right. I like that song. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses and He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am, hey, it's going to be all right. You're my own. I'm going to come and visit you in the darkest hour of the night. Child of God, take courage. Oh, I thank God that I'm a sinner today because, oh, God is still saving lost sinners and God is still using saved sinners and God is still empowering yielded sinners and God is still visiting weary sinners. Oh, thank the Lord. I like that song. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. That's all we are. Some undeniable truths of God's Word. I take courage in this old black book. There's some great days ahead. And I can't wait to live them. Amen. God's good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this story in Acts chapter 3 and 4. I pray, God, that You would bless the truth of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heads are closed. I want to open the altar for a few minutes this morning. And what a challenging message. What a challenging message for our hearts today. We don't serve just the God of the past. We serve the God of the present and the future. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, quiet before the Lord, I want to say if you need to be saved this morning, now is the time to get saved. Now is the time to come to Christ. Get it settled. How many times did I hear Larry Brown say, Terry, I'm not weary of the way, but I am a little weary in the way this morning. And then he'd get that visit, be off and running. I didn't understand it much back then, I guess, when I was in the 30s. I get it now. Our Father, we bow before you this morning. Our hearts have been squeezed again. Thank you for the time that Brother Hansen put into developing the message and the passion with which he delivered it this morning to help us. Thank you for once again coming and visiting and helping us today. I pray we wouldn't leave it here, oh Lord, please. But take it with us. In Jesus' name, amen.